This is a podcast from Patriots.com. For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
And all this time I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Or you'll just have to settle for Andy Hart and Eric Scalavino because Lori Baranski on a Saturday, not surprising that she's not here.
Barely here on a weekday.
Tom Casale and Paul Perillo also bagged day two of rookie minicamp. But we are here to report on the comings and goings here at Gillette Stadium. Rookie minicamp, as I said, day two. Their third session after a double session yesterday. The players returned to the field at 10:15 this morning.
All 27
27 guys, which is your 7 draft picks, your 11 rookie free agents, and your 9 tryout guys. Mm-hmm. We don't have the list, but we do have a confirmation by a number of players, one of which is Eric's new favorite player.
Tall.
One of them. Long-legged.
One of them. I got two.
Oh,
don't forget.
Right. Mike Dragosevich, North Dakota State.
Yep.
Some of you may know him due to his punting skills. Others may know him due to YouTube.
YouTube fame.
Entertaining 5-minute video of him dancing at a North Dakota State basketball game halftime.
Mm-hmm.
I urge you, if you haven't seen it, to look that up on YouTube. It is mildly entertaining, although at 5 minutes plus, it probably goes about 4 minutes plus too long.
Yeah.
He runs out of moves. But Bill talked a little bit about him. Mm-hmm. He was out there today. I don't think he punted too much.
He didn't punt with I don't think he punted at all, actually, as far as booming it across the sideline. He worked on his technique with the coach.
But Bill spoke about you can see some things in that area. He was asked about the punter and whether, being inside or, if you take him outside in the weather, does that hurt the evaluation on whether you decide to sign him? And Bill said, you can kind of watch and see if he's hitting the ball and the technique and all that. So Dragosevich, one of the players we'll be keeping an eye on to see if they get signed. Another guy that we have confirmed is Kenny Katus out of Troy, running back. His agent, I shared some emails with him, and he said they decided to come here because he's often been compared to Kevin Falk as a third down back, and they thought he would make a nice understudy for Kevin Falk. So he was out on the field today, number 45 in your program. If you had a program and if they listed the tryout players, he'd be there, but he isn't. And neither were you as a fan. Some of the other issues, Kevin O'Connell was a lightning rod of our discussion yesterday. I thought he looked a little bit better
today.
Stepped
it up a little.
Still erratic, still some throws that either sail over receivers or, particularly in the short throws, struggles. A lot of balls thrown at guys.
A little
Bledsoe-like
in the short throws.
Struggles a little bit.
They did have a camera focused on him after practice.
After practice,
He went over with Josh McDaniels, and Josh was sort of giving him some finer points on fixing some technique, and they had a camera dedicated to him so that presumably afterwards he'll go back and look at it and take what Josh told him and sort of be able to see what he was doing that they want him to fix. And
which his, let's be honest, his mechanics are a little different. They are not your prototypical passing motion, throwing motion. My guess is they'll ask him to look at that. I asked him about that, and he said he's never had that really done before. That's one of those things that, you advance to the next level, there's more coaches, more time, more everything. And he said they haven't particularly said specific things yet, but there are some things he's sure they're going to ask him to tweak based on some of that filming.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy, Matthew Slater, we talked a lot about yesterday, was back out there all defense today. He had his white jersey on but wore a blue penny over it the entire time. And we don't want to make too much of that because, as Eric and I discussed at camp, these are the fourth defensive back. So when they go 7-on-7, any of those team-type drills, if they want to have an actual secondary,
they want a nickel or a dime.
Right.
Yeah.
Barely,
just to have a secondary.
Yeah, he's their fourth defensive back playing in the slot, sort of a free safety-type position. But he was out there playing all defense, and Bill said he will continue to bounce back and forth and try to keep up with both, at least situationally, receiver and defensive back as he goes along. Who else stuck out in your mind? I know you're a big fan of the tight end, Stuper.
Stuper had a good day today.
Stuper.
He made a few good catches. Particularly deep balls over the middle. One which was just in passing drills with O'Connell, he made a great catch. But then in 7-on-7, they sort of repeated that same play with coverage, and O'Connell laid it in there, and Stuper made a nice catch in between a couple of defenders.
But it's not all positive. We like to balance this out. You're Mr. Positive. You're good cop. I'm bad cop.
Right.
He was out of position yesterday, got chewed out a little bit by Coach Pete Mangurian. I believe it was, what the bleep are you doing? He had some drops today, so let's not pretend it was perfect.
No, you know, certainly not.
Like all players on the field, had his ups and downs.
Absolutely. Another guy who had his ups and downs, I think maybe more ups overall this weekend than downs, was a guy whose name we still don't have, but he was a running back number 32, who in drills had probably the best speed and quickness of all the four backs who were there.
Questionable hands.
A little questionable hands. In the beginning, he looked like he might be okay, but then in the one-on-one matchups...
When covered,
he struggled.
Yes. He got hit in the hands a number of times, and it just deflected off his hands and fell to the turf. Another guy I found intriguing, we talked a little bit about him yesterday, and I spoke with him after practice today, is Vince Red, the tall, long linebacker out of Liberty. Did a little more research on him. He came from the University of Virginia before he ended up at Liberty. Went there under Al Groh's watch, so obviously there's that pipeline connection a little bit. Was suspended at one point and then kicked off the team for failing a drug test along with Ahmad Brooks a couple years ago. At that
player
point,
who went out in the supplemental draft.
Brooks chose to go supplemental draft. Red transferred to Liberty, sat out a year, and then had a very good year last year in his only year at Liberty. But 6'6", 260 pounds, has played as heavy as 280. Very athletic, been timed at 4.55 in the 40. To me, is the prototypical project at outside linebacker. He has everything you'd want in that position. I'm not saying he's going to develop, but he has everything you want. I've seen some comparisons to Mathias Kiwanuka, Boston College grad, who obviously has had some success with the Giants when he doesn't let guys go out of sacks. But that's a different story. But Red, I find very intriguing, very well-spoken, nice guy. You know, didn't really want to talk about the Virginia
stuff,
but talked about just, you know, coming out here as they all are, trying to learn it as quick as he can and make some plays and stick out so that he might stick around a little longer than, you know, others. Because as a undrafted free agent, obviously you're a long shot to make the roster. But I think he's one of the more intriguing guys.
We did find out as well that Gary Guyton, the linebacker, is a relative of some sort to former Patriot Myron Guyton. Safety,
but he doesn't speak of it because he doesn't speak to him.
They've never met, he said. So it's a distant relationship, distant cousins.
Just
of
like
some
I'm
sort,
claiming Mike Hart is my distant cousin, if he
very distant.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
You've never spoken to him either, have you?
I have. I spoke to him at the combine.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, I take that back.
That's more than Gary Guyton and Myron.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Mike Hart a little closer than you thought.
How'd your boy Carlos Feliciano do?
Tremendous. Didn't watch him once. He did not stand out to me.
He wore your favorite number, though.
He did. Number 69, Carlos Feliciano, very intriguing prospect. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis was back out there. I think he's an intriguing prospect. I will say the offensive lineman, I thought, bounced back a little bit today. There's only two of them, Ryan Wendell out of Fresno State and Josh Kaufman, the tackle out of East Carolina. I thought he bounced back after a absolutely horrendous first day. I thought he came back, looked a little stronger, had a little more life. Maybe he's one of those guys, as I said to you, Eric, that doesn't test well, got a little nervous first day, whatever.
Sure.
One guy I do want to talk about, Wheatley, I thought looked good on day two as well.
Speedy
still,
on kick returns.
Still the best guy on the field in terms of athleticism and standing out. His cohort, Jonathan Wilhite, late in practice, left the drills and went over with a trainer and was talking to Jim Whalen on the sideline. Nothing major, walked back to the huddle when practice ended, but I just wanted to point out that Jonathan Wilhite did get slightly, ever so slightly, it seemed, nicked up late in the practice session. What else you got?
Well, I think we should mention the first-round pick, Gerard Mayo.
Gerard Mayo, who made Andy Hart as uncomfortable as ever.
Yeah. Afterwards, when we were talking to Red and Guyton. Red and Guyton came over, and then Mayo and Crable decided to...
On their own, apparently.
On their own, without any help from the PR department, just came over and just started...
Looking over Red's shoulder, under his shoulder, since Mayo's significantly shorter, but staring at me, and I said, I didn't request those guys.
But Mayo, sort of conspicuous in his absence, not really absence from the field, but just absence of making any sort of spectacular play, but that's a little bit of a product of he's a linebacker, he's supposed to go out there and make hits, and when they're just in helmets and shorts, he can't really do that, and a lot of it was more mental work for the linebackers as far as lining up and reading the offensive scheme and not really being able to make a play. So it's not really fair to say that he didn't do anything. He just didn't really have a chance
to do
anything.
He'll make his money with the pads on.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, people, you know, we've sort of been led to believe he's pretty good in pass coverage. My guess is that's because the officials didn't see him holding the back or the tight end, because every time I saw him go up against the guy, he grabbed his jersey and held him every single time. And when he didn't, he was usually two steps behind him. So I think we may have been misled slightly on how good this guy is in pass coverage. And quite frankly, I couldn't give a rat's behind about it. I want him to be an inside linebacker. He's going to be able to drop and make a few plays, get in the way, get in some passing lanes, but I don't
want
him running
sideline.
He's not going to make his money covering backs on wheel routes down the sideline. Mm-hmm. You know, he's in the box, make some plays in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it. You know, Bill Belichick wrapped up the last time we'll meet with the media. The players will be back shortly. We'll be back on Sunday just for meetings before they head out of town. They will be back May 15th here at Gillette Stadium to really get into the offseason program and really kind of, that'll be, you know, from then on, they're a Patriot, basically.
And Bill said just at the end of his press conference that they would be making a decision probably by Monday on the tryout guys, who they want to bring back.
Yeah, we generally get that release Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have
something to talk about early next week.
We'll have something, you know, some of these guys who may or may not get signed, looking for Katus and Mike Dragosevich to make the roster.
Absolutely.
Bill said they will be giving each and every player something to work on. Of course, you know, not the guys they don't sign and ask to come back. But all the other guys, they'll be giving them different things to work on throughout the next couple of weeks as they're home, or with, you know, some of it could be as simple as technique or even just, you know, different things in the strength and conditioning program so that they're more used to the exercises, the running drills, the various things they do here when they come back the 15th and start working themselves in with the veterans on here at Gillette Stadium. But I think that's about it. I think we've done a phenomenal job, Eric.
Well, we're the only ones who did.
That's true. That's true. In terms of PFW, we're the only ones who did it, and a much lighter crowd in terms of media in general, I thought, at day two.
Much.
But I think that's about it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we covered it all. And that's going to put a wrap on our second and final Rookie Minicamp podcast. We'll be back next week with PFW in progress. We'll be back next week with roster reports. We'll discuss some of the players maybe they do sign in terms of tryout guys that make it. We'll have as always, we'll have all your written updates on Patriots.com. Tune in and enjoy all the information we like to spread here in the...
And don't forget, if you missed anything today and you want to check out the blog...
The blog is
always
there.
There are blog entries from yesterday and today. You can go back and look if you missed anything.
The beauty of the internet.
Exactly.
Updates, podcasts, blogs, they're just out there
floating
around.
And you can leave your comments.
Cyberspace.
Throw your two cents in, you can do that.
It's your virtual buffet for Patriots information. And now I'm going to wrap this up, and I'd like to do what we normally do and throw it back to Lori.
Sure.
But we'd have to, you know, go to her house, wake her up, get her out of bed. Mm-hmm. She'd have to put her makeup on. It would take forever. So we'll just say that's going to do it for Rookie Minicamp, and that's going to do it for this podcast.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team. And Patriots.com.